Pozdrav svima, veliko mi je zadovoljstvo da vam poželim dobrodošlicu na prvu epizodu podcasta koji je Gradski infoportal pokrenuo. Podcast u Oktagonu bavi se novostima u MMA sportu i zaista imamo veliku čast da imamo izuzetno gosta u prvoj emisiji. To je borac koji je izuzetno poznat kada je reč o partnernoj borbi, kada je reč o MMA sportu, ima najbolju dvoranu u Brazilu, a kada se govori o menadžerskom poslu, tu zaista govorimo o čovjeku koji je na najvišem mogućem nivou, Marcelo Brigadeiro. I'm also gonna make the introduction in English. I just told our viewers that we are having a rare honor to welcome someone like you, someone who is a big name when we talk about ground game, Luta Libre, someone who is a big name when we talk about MMA, and someone who is great when we talk about managing fighters. So we have great honor to have you here. Welcome, brother.
Welcome. Oh, brother, you can believe that the honor is mine to be here with you guys. You know how much I like you. Boyam is like a real brother to me. It's like family. He knows that. And to be here with you is a big honor for me. I'm very, very happy.
Thank you, brother. We are flattered.
It's our honor too. Hello, brother. How are you? Long time.
Hey, I'm fine. Miss you. Yeah, long time.
Long time from last our... meet from UFC in St. Petersburg when Alex Lenko fought. What is with Alex now? Can you tell us something about his career? He lost his fight on decision last week.
Yeah, I believe Alex got what usually happens here in the team, which is a statement of the good work we do. But at the same time, sometimes it's tricky, is that things happen very fast for the fighters here. I believe that Alex was technically ready for the UFC when he got the UFC, but he was too young. He was not mature enough. So he needed still to become more mature on his personal life, because this affects the fight for sure. So this last fight, in my opinion, was his best performance from all the four fights he had. He showed that he's a more experienced guy, a more experienced fighter now. And it was a very, very even fight against a very tough opponent who had beat many big names already. But he could have won this fight if he didn't make that mistake in the first round. He scored a great knockdown in the very early in the round. And then he decided to jump into the opponent's guard, and his opponent was able to hold him for the whole round and recover. So second round, his opponent took his back, won the round, and third round, Alex just smashed him and took the round. So, but the judge, two judges saw this as a, because a big problem, the biggest problem was that he lost a point on the second round for putting his toes on the cage. And this point cost him the fight. So even though one of the judge gave it a draw, but the other two gave it the fight for his opponent because of the point that was deducted. So yeah, it happens. Nothing we can do.
Yeah, I'm very emotional with fighters who fought in my event in SBC, and especially when your fighters fight. So it's very, very bad. It was very bad when I look that fight.
Yeah, you know, we feel it. We don't like to lose, of course. We do everything to win, but it's part of the game. It's part of the game. Yeah, and, you know, especially nowadays, I see things a little bit different. A loss like this doesn't hurt me so much, because he went there, he fought well, he left everything in the cage, he done what he could do. The kind of loss that hurts me today is when the fighter, for some reason, he cannot perform, he cannot do what we trained, or maybe a punch lands too early, or a submission lands too early, or he just can't perform on the night. That kind of loss really, really hurts me bad, because we are not able to show what we've done, you know. But this kind of losses, I just, after being on this game for a long, long time, I understand this as part of the game. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah. Will you be able to leave him in UFC? Do you think that he can get another contract with UFC
No, impossible, because
Because
it was his last fight in the contract. The UFC nowadays, they are not very interested in Brazilian fighters on the lightweight division. Actually, lightweight, welterweight, featherweight, and bantamweight are the worst classes to work with towards the UFC nowadays, because they have too many fighters on these classes. And of course, they gotta give priority for fighters from markets that are financially interesting for them, which means US first place, United Kingdom second place, Western Europe third place, and Asia. Those are the key markets for them. So us Brazilians, you guys Serbians, we are all fucked.
You think we too? I hope we are not on that map.
Unfortunately, we are, right?
It's really hard for us, especially on this weight class that got so many, many fighters, you know.
Okay, brother, so what I wanted to say about to viewers in Serbia, man, many people know you, many people don't know you still, but you did some great things when it comes to MMA in Serbia. Can you remind us of some things that you already done for Serbian MMA? People don't realize how important you are.
I didn't do much. Bojan done everything, you know. Wow. I just gave him some hand to finalize some deals, but Bojan is the guy who is doing everything for MMA in Serbia. And I'm very happy, very proud and honored to be working with him for some time already. And we were able to bring some guys to the UFC, and that's awesome. But it's much more his work than mine.
No,
you're too modest.
Yeah, you are.
That's what boy, thank you, brother. I know what he thinks. I mean,
I just had the luck to meet you a long time ago. That's the only thing I did right in PES.
No, but you know what do you do over there with SBC building all these fighters up, bringing attention to them, to their careers? This is huge. This is huge. This makes the whole difference when you look at the long term return for these fighters, for their careers. What you invest in their image and putting on a great show, great production, is just that's what really matters. You know, once you have everything. What I do that's trying to sell them to the promotions is just a small part of it, but yeah, it's just awesome what you've been doing over there.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, brother.
What do you think about Serbian fighters, you know, about Stefan, about Dusko, about other guys, you know?
Well, I think they are all very brave, right? They remind me a little bit of the Liverpool fighters, very brave. They are not scared of anything. They show a great grappling skills, maybe because the work you've been doing there for such a long time. Their striking is good as well. I think what needs to work a little bit more for Serbian fighters is basically two things. One is wrestling, that I see that's the biggest, the weakest point in Serbian MMA and also in Brazilian MMA. I think we're very similar. And the weight cut, I believe, because let's say Dusko is an amazing fighter, but I do think he's in the wrong weight division, you know? Because it doesn't matter how technically good you are, if you get a much stronger fighter when we're talking only for three rounds of fight, sometimes this guy is able to just don't let you fight, you know, just to stop you. So those are the two things I need Serbian MMA need to work more on. On the other hand, I think the fighters there are really well-rounded. They are very brave. They are not scared of anything. And they got great personality, I think, as fighters and as people. And I love the Serbian fighters. I love it.
Yeah, thank you.
That's why everybody loves you from Serbia. That's probably the reason. But what would you say about the thing that hurts us the most? We still didn't get over it. Stefan's loss to Dwight Grant in the UFC Jacksonville last year. What do you remember about that fight and how everything turned out for Stefan?
Oh, the last fight from Stefan, the UFC?
Yeah.
I think for some reason, Stefan, I think he doesn't know how good he is. That's the impression I have. Because this kid's amazing. I think Stefan is an amazing fighter in every aspect. I'm 100% sure he can. He can finish any fight if he really believes that. On his last fight, he seemed very hesitant, very giving too much respect for the opponent. It is one of the fights that if he just said, fuck it, I'm just going to go for it, he would probably have finished this in the first round. And the proof is that on the third round, when he said, yeah, fuck it, I'm losing the fight, I go for it, he nearly killed the opponent, right?
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to Stefan, I think it's much more the fact that he needs to know, to understand how good, how much of a high level fighter he is, because everybody understands this, everybody sees this, but when he comes to fight, he gives too much respect for the opponents, you know, and he shouldn't do it. He should just go there and make a statement and say, listen, I'm going to show you I'm fucking better than you, because he is, he's amazing. He's an amazing fighter. I really enjoy watching Stefan fighting.
He's just too polite, even in fights, you know.
And you cannot do that, especially in the UFC.
It's not good on that stage of fighting of sport.
Yeah, it's crazy because when you go to the level of competition, there you're gonna meet the best in the world, the best of every country. Those guys are there, and you know, you gotta have like many, many different tools and skills to be able to perform on the level. And sometimes I've seen it many, many times. Fighters that are just fucking amazing, technically, physically, they are very, very good. But when you get over there, for some reason, they let the pressure take the best of them. And they just can't perform at the best, you know. And sometimes also fighters, they don't understand how good they are. And, you know, it comes with time, you know. Sometimes they have time. Sometimes they are lucky enough to survive inside the organization until they understand this. They understand that they really deserve to be there. And then they just, boom. We know, we got an example of a Brazilian fighter that just did it, Charles Bronx. He just, on the start, he was a bad fighter, like in general, a bad fighter because he was very skillful, but on his mind, he didn't know that. He didn't truly believe that he deserved to be there. And that's why he gave up on many fights. That's why he just didn't want to fight anymore in a couple of fights. But he was lucky enough that every time he was supposed to get cut, he was there and boom, won a fight. And then they gave him some more time, some more experience. And then he realized and said, listen, no, I'm really good. I deserve to be here. And then he is what he is nowadays.
Yeah, champion.
A champion, a true killer. I mean, he's great.
I must ask you your opinion of, I know your opinion because we text a lot. About it, but I must ask you about your opinion of Dusko's stand-up game. His risky stand-up.
It's a very unorthodox and dangerous stand-up game, in my opinion. Because if you, the first class you have at any boxing school in the world, they're going to say, bring your chin down and your shoulders forward. Bring your shoulders up and forward and your chin down to protect your chin. And Dusko, he does exactly the opposite. He brings the shoulders backwards and put the chin up in the air. I always have a heart attack every time I watch him fight, you know. Yeah. He can take, I am impressed of the amount of damage he can take because he takes like clean shots in the shin and he's still fighting. So that shows like how brave he is. But it's a different style. It's a awkward style and very dangerous striking style, because if you get someone with a longer leverage, if you have someone who is a striking specialist, he will find your chin. You know, he will find it. He will find the chin. And so it's dangerous, very dangerous.
But he's different. UFC like different guys. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's different. It's different. It's awkward. Well, and he make works. You know, he fought some legit opponents already. He beat some really good fighters already. So he makes this awkward style work for him. And on the other hand, not many people are prepared for that, because you don't usually have sparring partners that play this way, you know. So it's hard for someone to copy Dusko to be training for along with his opponent. So yeah, there's the good and the bad.
Yeah, but last time he wasn't lucky. I mean, he had a great game plan. I mean, he did okay in the first round, but unfortunately that elbow from Njokuani, I mean, it ended everything. He started a very good fight, but
yeah, no, I like Dusko. Dusko is a great fighter. He just fucking gives me a heart attack every time he fights, because every time he brings his chin up and the head down and the opponent's punch comes this close, like, you know, I almost die. I can imagine when you guys are in the corner, it must be much worse, you know.
Much worse. Exactly. Much worse.
Yeah, I lose my hair because of him.
Yeah. He would have long hair otherwise.
But. Yeah. What is your opinion about Alexander Rakic? His injury, his status in, what is his status now in MTK? What do you think?
Yeah,
what will happen?
We're still working together. We're still going to be working together for a long time. He is, I think he was doing great on the fight. It was very unfortunate. He was just, he seemed to be in the complete control of all the action. You know, he was just, I don't know, man. He was just showing to be on another level. You know, Blachowicz seemed to be a little bit scared of him, because Rakic got, he was super fast on his striking. His coach, Richie, done a great job, because his hands were so fast, so accurate. And when Blachowicz thought that he was keeping standing, he went for a takedown. And, you know, just, it was just looking sharp, amazing. And then something like that happens. I told him that, you know, when something like this happens, you can even be pissed off. You know, you just gotta accept, because, you know, yeah. But he'll be back. He'll be back stronger. He's already recovering. He had his surgery on the same week. He's already recovering. He's hungry, and he understands that everything happens for a reason. Yeah. We got his back on the defeat, and he's going to be on the top again. And I do believe that he can be the champion of this weight class, because he got everything. He's very good technically. His mentality is great. He's huge for the weight class. I don't know how this kid can cut weight to 205, because he's super big, you know. So I think, and he's too young. So I think I'm very confident we're going to get the belt.
Yeah, and that would be a nice thing for us Serbians, because you Brazilians are used to having world champions. In Serbia, we still didn't have any. So we hope away. That he will get the belt.
Yeah, I believe Rakic can do that and will be the Serbian champion in the UFC.
It will help us to bring UFC here in Serbia.
Yeah. You know, I got no doubt that if the UFC goes there, it's going to be fully packed the place, because Serbians love fighting, right? You guys love MMA, and, you know, that would be great. And Rakic being a champion, they gotta go there. There's nothing they can do. They gotta go there. They gotta put a big show over there.
Especially with Yuri, because we are close to each other.
Yeah, Czech Serbia. Republic now has the champion.
Imagine, Prohaska, yeah. Imagine that matchup, Jiří and Rakic.
Yeah, that fight would be amazing. You know, Rakic against Jiří would be an amazing fight. The clash of styles. Rakic is very orthodox when it comes to his striking and his wrestling, his grappling. He's very solid at what he does. Jiří is just the opposite. We never know what to expect from the guy. He just completely crazy and unorthodox. It's really hard to train for someone like him because you don't know what you're going to do. Both guys are very big. Both guys are very confident. And that would be an amazing fight. You know, I just wish that Rakic could have won the last fight, because that would be the next fight we would be watching on the light heavyweight division, and this would be awesome.
But now he make us time to work on it, to make UFC here, and when he can come back, we will
have the opportunity to bring the UFC to the Serbia. UFC here. maybe it's for the good. Yeah, you never know.
That's
you
why
know,
it's good.
I always tell the UFC that they gotta go there. I always tell them, you know, but when they make this kind of decision, it comes to many aspects, political aspects, economical aspects, the TV deals they got in place. So too many factors they have to consider it, but I'm always pushing for this. I'm always telling them, guys, you got to go to Serbia.
And Jiří is one of my favorite fighters now in the UFC, in any division, but there is no chance to Jiří to win Rakic in Serbia. There is no chance. Do you know that Jiří once lost fight in Serbia from Bojan Veličković?
Oh, yeah, I know.
So Rakic would beat him here for sure.
I agree. It plays a great factor, you know, when you're fighting at home with the whole support of your fans is a huge difference. You know, there are some studies that show that usually when you fight at home, your chances to win are much higher. You know, that plays a big factor for sure.
Yeah, especially we have, I think that our arena Stark in Belgrade is second or third by capacity in Europe. So it will be.
That's because of basketball.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure. Yes. It will be full, yeah, for sure.
25. You guys are great at basketball as well, right?
Yeah. We are the best in basketball.
What's the name of the guy that was in the
Nikola Jokic, MVP
playoffs? Doncic.
Nikola. Doncic. No. Nikola Jokic is Serbian.
Joker. Jokic.
Yeah. Luka Doncic is half Serbian. His father is Serbian and his mother is Slovenian.
Ah, okay.
But Nikola Jokic is MVP in NBA. Nikola Jokic is Serbian.
Serbian guy is the MVP in the NBA now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there are many Serbian players in NBA nowadays, right?
We are the best in basketball.
And in tennis.
And in tennis, yeah. But for in 5 to 10 years, we will make MMA to be dominant in to be
I do believe that. I believe that, you know. I think you're doing the right decisions, and you're moving very intelligently. And you are really building up MMA over there. I see Serbia soon as being one of the biggest potencies in MMA.
We will be dominant like Dagestan now. Dagestan Russians are in UFC.
Yeah.
I promise that. Tell me, please, opinion about Stefan Negucic and Predrag Bogdanović, and what is next for them?
Well, you know, these two guys, they already deserve to be in the UFC. There's no doubt. You know what they done, the kind of opponents they beat. For sure, if it was a matter of this guy deserves coming in, no, this guy doesn't deserve, they would be in the UFC already because both deserve. You know, Negucic, he just comes off a great win streak. He's both are undefeated, but Negucic, he just beat some Dagestan fighters, some guys that are really tough. And Predrag, he just had tough opponents since the very first fight. You know, most of his opponents were much more experienced than him, and the kid just dominate everybody. So I think it's for them, it's just, of course, the pandemic made a huge problem for everybody, especially from countries like Serbia, Brazil, and everything, because made the UFC just centralize all their events in the US and one or another in the UK. This makes much harder for other nationalities from countries which require visas for most of the countries like Brazil and Serbia. We need visas for nearly everywhere. It's really hard for us to compete against American prospect, you know,
yes.
Because if a pullout happens in the UFC, for a Serbian or a Brazilian, we need at least 2 months to get a P1 visa. An American, he can be there tomorrow. So they give priority for Americans, UK fighters, and this Dana White Contender Series doesn't help either because they bring many Americans in all the time. So this changed the whole format of what the market was, the way the market was going before the pandemic. And but now that things are getting better, the UFC is once again looking to expand their events back. So they've been in Singapore, they are going to Paris, they are back in Abu Dhabi soon. They are looking for other areas. This might help, and hopefully these two guys will be soon in the UFC because they do deserve two great fighters. And there's, to be honest, there are maybe only two, three organizations that we could think of them fighting there. No other organization really deserves to have fighters of such a caliber as these two guys.
So, brother, what we kind of flew over it, I mean, we just mentioned MTK. What's the situation with MTK now, and how do we go forward when it goes to the future?
Okay, MTK has decided to stop operations, to cease operations, but we still had like loads of fighters on the contract, so we could not just say, okay, bye-bye, here you go. So right now, I'm finalizing the process just to set up a new company, and we're gonna absorb all these contracts and bring all the fighters under this new company, and which gonna be better because we're gonna bring some aspects we used to have at MTK, and with some more, but I'm gonna have more flexibility on what I wanted to do. And there are some very promising plans in the future, and I think it's gonna be just great. I'm very excited, can't wait to start.
Have you already decided on the name of the new management company, or can we have the exclusive or not yet?
Yeah, I have. This will be called Aspera Sports Agency. Oh, so yeah. It's already a very well-known and very respected name in the MMA community. And I think it just suits really, really well, especially because one of the projects is to bring Aspera back again, the event. So yeah, that's how it's going to be called. Nobody knows yet. Now they will.
No, yeah, it's a great name.
Brother, I know that you are the best manager in MMA business, especially because we are brothers and I love you. But can you tell us something about cheaters, liars, fake managers in our business, and how much it's dangerous and for new kids, new guys, you know?
Man, managing fighters is a very, 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 very tough task, and it brings a lot of responsibility because you're not playing chess, you know, you're playing with people's lives and dreams. And many guys just, you know, the last 6 to 7 years, many guys just joined the market and said, okay, I'm a manager now and blah, blah, blah. but they don't have what it takes to be a manager. You know, to be a manager, you need to have many, many skills that will guarantee that you know how to give your fighters good opportunities. And then, of course, when it comes to have benefits from this opportunity or not is up to the fighter and his team. But you got to be able to generate good opportunities for these fighters. And to really be able to get a good opportunity to a fighter, you got to understand the whole path, which fights you got to take, when you got to take, in which platforms, against who. Fighters, I like to say that the fights that make sense, you know. What usually happens with all these liars, these cheaters, is that although I can say only by myself, let's use myself as an example. I work with the UFC since 2007, so it's been 15 years already. I know really, really well Sean Shelby, Mick Maynard. I know how these guys think, and I know how to approach them. We got a good relation, a great relation, actually. And man, it's just to get there is hard. It's hard, you know, to get to this point is hard. What does young managers do? And even though I have all this great relation with them, and I know that they really evaluate what I say. So if I say that a fighter is good, I know they're gonna pay attention on this fighter for sure. You know, you can imagine that they receive an average of 300 emails a day. They will not read every email they get. They will read the emails.
Only from guys they know, yeah, and they trust, yeah.
Yeah, the guys they trust. And I know I am on the top of the list of the guys they trust, and because I always delivered and I never lied to them. So even like this, I can never, ever, ever promise a fighter that I'm going to get them in the UFC or in PFL or ACA. I can't do that because there's a chance that, I don't know, for some reason, I don't know, 10 years ago, the fighter slapped Mick Maynard in the face and he hates the fighter. I don't know. So I can't promise, you know, I can't make promise. There's been many, many situations where I knew for a fact that I would get the guy in the UFC. Because the guy comes to me and say, listen, I want to work with you and blah, blah, blah. And then we talk. Then I go call Mick and say, listen, Mick, I got this guy. What do you think? Oh, I love him. I would love to sign him. So, man, what he's saying is, if you bring this fighter to me, I'm going to sign him. And yet, I cannot go to the fighter and say, listen, I guarantee you're going to put in the UFC. Because I don't know, maybe Mick changes his mind. Maybe then I calls him and say, listen, I don't want this guy over there. I got no interest in on his country, or I don't want. So I cannot make promise. So the first thing that a fighter should know and would be a great filter to know if the manager is real, is for real or not, is trustable or not, is if he promises you anything, just run away, man. Nobody can promise anything. Nobody can promise anything in this business. The only thing I promise to the fighters that are going to work fucking hard to fulfill their dreams. I'm going to work my ass off to be able to do that. And I do this. But that's the only thing I can promise. And I've done already some crazy things that nobody could imagine. And I was able to bring some fighters into the UFC that many, many managers, big managers, they just couldn't. And I could, but yet I don't make promises, you know. And nowadays, what you see is managers promising everything. They can't fulfill the promises, so they get a lot of pressure. And they, in a way, to give a feedback to show that they are working, they get the wrong fights for the fighters that they shouldn't take, and then these fighters go over there. They lose one, two fights in shows they shouldn't be fighting against opponents they shouldn't be facing. They lose two fights, they make some money, and they ruin their career, you know? So, yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky. I can say that there are maybe five, six good managers in the whole world nowadays. Five, six good managers. The rest is shit, crap. But if you try to enumerate, you're going to find over 100 managers. So there's a huge chance that a young kid end up with a shit manager.
Yeah. Good example is how we run, but you run Dusko career. He fought in UFC with his first fight with, I think, 1-3 or 1-4 record in UFC. Then he lost, second fight he lost in UFC from just 6-0 fighter. It's not some killer. Third fight he fought with, it was short notice, Gregory.
Gregory Rodriguez,
but Gregory,
yeah,
is lost in contender. And fourth fight, again, 1-4.
So he had a good road. Yeah. I mean, he had a good fights for him. This when you look from that point of view.
Good running career, UFC career. But I want to mention one. Say please. Yeah, you.
No, I would just say that this is a very wrong conception that the fighters usually have. They believe that a manager is important to take them to the UFC.
Yeah.
No, not only for this. A manager is as important as to when they are already in the UFC or in another big promotion. The manager will be the difference between them getting like horrible matchups or favorable matchups. Of course, when it gets to a point that you are top 20, top 15, there are not many favorable matchups over there. But until you get there, to guarantee you the survival inside the organization, there's so much that goes on between manager and matchmaker that, man, it's just crazy. Sometimes me and Mick, we just fucking kill each other on the phone. You know, we get pissed off and then we hang the phone. And then after 2 days, we speak again. And, you know, to get Blakovic's fight for Rakic, it was a fucking nightmare. It was 6 months negotiation to get that fight. 6 months. No joke. You know, and there are so many things involved in order to get the fight you want. It's so hard because sometimes the fight you want for your fighter is not the fight that the UFC wants. You know, they have something else in mind. So you got to go into a fucking clash, a fucking war. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. But you got to fight. Many managers I know, they just say yes for the UFC. You know, the UFC goes, listen, you're going to do this? Yes. Listen, and they forget they are not working for the UFC. They're working for the fighters. You know, my duty, my job is doing what's the best for my fighter, not for the UFC, right? But some guys, most of the managers, they don't understand this. They are scared of saying no to the UFC. And it's not personal. Yes and no are part of the job. You know, sometimes I say no, and they just say, listen, you got no choice. That's it. And I'll fight. And then I will find no other option. And then I say, okay, you guys want. But sometimes I'm able to get what I want. You know, it's just giving and take. You know, you got to play ball. That's it.
Do you think that social media and Twitter help to match fights or not?
No, not at all. Not at all. I see this many, many times. The fighters go in campaigns in social media to get the fights they want. That doesn't make any difference at all.
Even for high level, like Rakic, Blachowicz, even for that level?
Nah, not at all. Not at all. You got to understand that at the end of the day, the UFC is not a tournament, right? It's not like a BJJ or Luta Libre tournament where the best fighter are going to win. It's not like this. They are a company and they are looking for profit. Yeah, so of course is their interest that the fighter that generates more profit becomes a champion because they can explore it and get even more profit. It's completely understandable and it's legit. Yeah. If you got a company, you want profit. So it's important that fighters try to add value to themselves as fighters. They gotta show that they are able to turn into pay-per-view sellings, into ticket sellings, you know. So they gotta speak English. They gotta have a good presence in social media. All this, all those factors give the managers more leverage to negotiate, you know. I can use Darren Till as an example. Till, he got it all. He got it all. He's not only a fucking great fighter. He knows how to sell fights. He's great in social media and interviews and everything. He speaks fluently English and Portuguese, so he hits both markets. So I knew what I had in my hands when he started the UFC career. So, man, I was able to push the UFC so hard that Till, on his third professional fight, he was making more money than fighters that had already 10 UFC fights, 12 UFC fights. And in 4 or 5 fights, I was able to renegotiate his deal twice and get him much more money than many, many, many other fighters on the roster that were there for 20 fights, 15 fights already. Because, why? Because I knew he had all the tools to give me leverage in the negotiation. On the other hand, some fighters, they don't speak English. They don't even have an Instagram account. They are not, they only win by decision. They are not exciting to watch. They are from a country that doesn't have pay-per-view selling culture. The, you know, these guys, I don't have leverage at all. You know, if the UFC says that's it, I gotta say yes, sir, you know. So it all depends on the fighter and what he give you as leverage to negotiate.
About Till, what is his status now with you, how, relationship with you?
Oh, great, awesome. We speak all the time. Till calls me all the time, and you know, he's a great kid. He's an awesome kid, and I was gonna go on his last fight against Brunson. I was gonna go to the UK for some time to help him training. But there was the fucking pandemic, and then the United Kingdom, England, they just shut the borders and nobody could get in. On his next fight, I was supposed to do exactly the same thing, but then I got some guys over here that are also gonna fight for the UFC or contender series, so I gotta stay. But we are trying to sort out a way that we can be together again, because I know he needs that. I miss working with him as a coach, right? And yeah, I believe that I can help make him world champion. So we're trying still to figure out a way of doing this.
Especially now, his duo with, or his friendship now with Chimaev, it's good for his career, for next step, next level.
Especially.
Yeah, of course. Of course, it's good. It's good. He needs people that can put pressure on him. You know, it's not everybody that is able to put pressure on Till in training, because he's a phenomenal striker. He's really good in takedown defense, and you know, it's not an easy task to get close to him and take him down before he kills you. So he needs people there in training that are able to give him a hard time. That's what he needs.
He's purple belt, right? He was purple belt when I trained with him.
Yeah.
He should go in Brazil until he gets his black belt, and that's his step to world title in UFC.
You know, I agree with you, but his life in England, and that's the reason why he went back to England, is much more comfortable. It's a much more comfortable life because his sponsors are there. He got young kids. So it's it's hard for him to be away. You know, it's very hard. At the same time, it's hard for him to have the level of training partners he needs where he is. You know, Calbon is a great gym, you know, so very well. But it's hard to find strong, good and strong wrestlers, grapplers there that can give to the kind of nightmare he needs in training in order to perform at his best in the cage. So it's not the easiest task, you know, but we're trying to figure out and find a way, because I am 100% sure that you got what it takes to be a champion one day. And I'm pretty confident he will be a champion one day. He's too young and he would be a great champion for the UFC.
Yeah, he's superstar, born superstar.
Yeah, he's exactly.
Yeah, what about apart from Till, who also became contender and fought for the world title, you also led a girl who fought last weekend, Tyler Santos. What about her? What's your relationship with her? You helped her a lot with the UFC and everything. So what's the situation now?
Tyler was my student for the almost her entire career, right? She got here after she had her first professional fight. And then I built her up. I taught her everything she knows. I built her career up. I took her to the UFC. I got her many wins in the UFC and blah, 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 blah. And then just before not this fight, that last fight, she decided to part ways and to go somewhere else because some problems that were happening involving her family. And so, as I always say, I don't want anybody that's not happy by my side. You know, it's just impossible to be happy this way. You know, I don't want, if you don't want to be with me, well, what can I do? You know, so it was her decision. She decided to leave, and that's it. There's not much we can say, but yeah, I hope she can be successful, and she's a great fighter. I know the kind of fighter that I build up over there, and when I put her in the UFC, I told the UFC that one day she would be champion, and I believe she can be champion one day. She's a really good fighter.
When you she should win that fight. She won first three rounds, for sure, first three rounds with Valentina Shevchenko. He maybe fourth, maybe she lost. Fifth maybe, but first three for sure for Tyla.
Yeah, she is really good. She is a very good fighter, very well rounded. I'm not sure if she's gonna be able to keep the same level of ground fighting as she used to have, because on the team she is now, they are strictly from Thai boxing. But she is really good.
Can you tell us some? I know Tyler. When I was there, she was 13-0, and then she get pregnant, and she was out of gym until she could come back. But I know that you believe in her like I believe in Predrag Bogdanović. So I would be very sad if Predrag make this.
Would say I don't want to be with you anymore. So.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, brother. At the end of the day, not many people have the kind of loyalty that we have. You know, this is sad, but that's perfect true. We intend to think that martial arts. Oh, because we are talking about martial arts, we're talking about loyalty, respect, honor. No, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. Martial arts is just another job as any other for most of people. There are a few like me, you, and another handful of people that really, really care about loyalty, about honor, about respect. And we live like true samurais. That's it. But most of people, they just think about themselves. You know, if they need to use you, they will use you. If they need to use me, they will use me. That's it. That's life. I think general people are like this. You know, in the world is like this. Everybody, the world is made of billions of selfish people that only look to whoever is by their sides as a way to use them to get to better places, you know. And the fighting business is not different. It's not, maybe it was different when there were no money in the game, because there would be a filter that only people that really evaluated other principles would be fighting, would be training together and blah, blah, blah. But once you bring money in, then you bring all sorts of people.
Yeah.
You know, and most of people are naturally selfish and they don't care about loyalty or respect or whatever, you know. They are very, and the most important, gratitude. You know, most of people are very ungrateful. And I'm, you know, I had a wrong view for most of my life. I was expect, because I'm very grateful for anybody that ever helped me in any time of my life, whoever gave me an opportunity, or I'm very, very grateful. And I'm a very loyal person. So I always expected that people would be this way with me. And that hurt me badly for years and years and years. And now I'm starting to understand that's exactly the opposite. Most of people will not be like this. Only very special people value gratitude and loyalty. So I gotta be ready to face that the majority of people I will meet in my life, they will just want to use me, and that's it. Once you face the situation like this, it hurts less and less and less, you know.
I did a lot of things in my life, even now, and I never in any part of life, any business, any job, there is the I think my opinion is that the worst people are in MMA business.
Yeah, easily, you know, because they are all most of them, 99% of them come from the same kind of history. No familiar base, no moral standards, because they didn't learn it at home. Desperation for money, very low intelligence. So when you put it all together, the chances of having someone that doesn't give a shit for gratitude, loyalty, or doesn't understand that sometimes it can be much better for you to let some opportunities pass and stay with whoever you know that's gonna be always there for you in your life, because this in the long term gonna generate you much more return than the short term opportunities. But they don't have the intelligence that's needed to understand this. They just see that now. They don't even think what's gonna happen tomorrow, you know? So at the end of the day, you're completely right. MMA is the worst place to be working at, you know, for sure.
I'm praying that it's not the same situation with Glyco, because Glyco is one of my favorite, your favorite fighter,
yeah,
from your gym.
No, Glyco was a completely different situation.
I saw him in ATT. That's I couldn't even ask you what is with him. Is everything okay with him now?
Both Glyco and me, we agreed that was the best move for him, because Glyco, I don't see him like having a pleasure in fighting anymore. You know, it got to the point that he was fighting to get some money to feed his baby and support his family. He was not like enjoying fighting anymore. And I see Glyco on that stage of life that he got his, and he's a very intelligent kid and a very skillful kid. And I see him on that stage where he needs to start getting ready to make the transition to become a coach, right? And I always say that everybody who wants to be a high-level coach should have the experience to live abroad or to train abroad for a long time, because this will build, this will make you see different aspects of fighting, and this will build a more complete and experienced coach.
So we go to the funnier subjects. I mean, I know what you love the most, it's Lucha Libre. That's something you are very good at. I mean, when I speak to Bojan, he always tells that Marcelo Brigadeiro is the best technician he ever saw.
Yes, for sure.
Brother, how come you are so good at it?
Well, you know, I think Bojan says this because he loves me, because he's my brother, you know. I don't see myself as anything special this way. I just think that I love it so much, but so much, so much, in a way that Lucha Libre, I don't know, man. It's just, it's hard to say, but it has shaped the way my life is, so many aspects. And there are, I am so addicted to this that I spend so many nights thinking about technique. And every time I teach a technique, I try to think all the scenarios that can come from this. And I try to think more and more and more. So I see this as a science, and I love to study it. You know, I spend my time, my energy studying it. And that's why I think I end up like having a good technical level. And, but that's it, just, you know, a love, addiction, and study. I think that's the putting it all together.
Yeah, well, can you tell us, who learned you Lucha Libre? Who was your coaches? I know, but I want to hear.
Well, my main coach was Márcio Cromado. He's my master and always going to be. He only taught me Lucha Libre, but he showed me how to be a better human being, how to be a man. And, you know, he is responsible for everything I am and everything I have. But I had like a big, big influence as well from Master Daniel Didani, who always put a lot of his time in showing me things and adapting things to me and sharing his insights of every technique with me. So those were the two biggest influences I had.
The Márcio Cromado is head coach of the from RFT team. Can you tell us something about RFT? From
well, that's where I was raised. That's where what we when we started, there was not RFT. It was Márcio Cromado team. It was called. And then after a couple of years, we needed a name for our team, because at first, actually, when I started, we used to represent Master Eugenio, who is Cromado's coach, Cromado's master. So we used to represent him. After some time, Cromado left, and we started representing Master Cromado team for a long time. And then after many years, we decided that we needed a brand, we needed a name. And then that's when RFT started. So that's my home. That's where I was raised, you know. I bring this in my skin. I got a huge RFT tattoo on myself. That's my family.
Yeah. What does it mean, RFT, on English?
It's called, in English would be renovation fight team. Because we were the new blood of Lucha Libre at the time. You know, that were the old guys like Eugenio, Hugo, these guys that were the old guard of Lucha Libre, the guys, of course, super important and very respected. But Gromado always had his particular way of teaching, very technical, very, you know, very unique kind of luta livre. And we wanted to show that we had something different to offer. We were like the new version of luta livre. That's why Renovation fights him.
People from jiu-jitsu like Gromado. I know opinion from some high level coaches, some familiar coaches. All the best for Gromado.
Yeah, everybody likes him. He's a great guy. He always been very respectful and very kind to everybody. And yeah, it's, you know, anywhere you go, people just love him.
Yeah, but I would say you brought the luta livre quality, I mean, to a higher standard. I mean, before there was always like competition between Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and luta livre. Now Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guys also respect a lot of luta livre fighters because luta livre is really high level. And why would you say luta livre is better than Jiu-Jitsu? What are the advantages of luta livre?
Well, I think the fact that we already start without using gi turn the luta livre more real for either self-defense or for competing in MMA, let's say. Other factor is that some techniques that are allowed in MMA and that can be used in the streets, they are allowed in luta livre since you are a white belt. And now some of them are starting to be allowed in BJJ, but for decades they were forbidden, like several kind of heel hooks, foot locks, you know, crunks, and so now they are seeing the importance of starting to allow this, and we do this for ages already, you know. So that I would say would be the most beneficial aspects of learning luta libre.
People don't know that some famous MMA fighters who do good guillotine choke or heel hooks are basically luta libre fighters, like Pulgares, like, I don't know. Do you know that, you know for sure, but Marcelo Garcia started with luta libre?
Yeah, of course. The problem is, luta libre, we had two big problems that made this martial art so small compared to BJJ. First one is that the guys that were that really started luta livre as the martial art we know, they were not interested in setting up a plan to spread it worldwide, right? They only want to be the toughest guy in the neighborhood. That's their goal. So as long as they were the toughest guys in their neighborhoods, they were happy. BJJ, on the other hand, they made a big marketing campaign and took BJJ everywhere in the world. So this is one very, very, one of the main factors that made luta livre fail in becoming popular and well-known worldwide. Second one was that we were not able to provide opportunities and conditions for the luta livre fighters to stay and remain representing luta livre. So we got to a point where nearly all good luta livre fighters had to go to BJJ to get the opportunities they wanted. I had many offers to do that. I never did because my loyalty to my master was above any financial interest. But for me, it's easy to judge because I never really started, you know, I never really had like a very, very hard time when it comes to money. My family was not rich, but was not poor either, was okay. So nowadays I avoid making judgment because it's hard to be on someone else's skin. And maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe it's harder to value loyalty when you're starving, you know, when you have kids to feed. So I don't try to be as critical as I try not to be as critical as I used to be in the past. But the fact is that we were not competent enough as a martial art to provide opportunities. So we lost 99% of the guys that could be, that could have helped to spread Luta Livre around, you know.
I think Luta Livre community is happy that they have you, because my opinion is that you are the best possible, the best ever technical guy I ever roll with. And you were last time when we rolled, you has surgery of both knees. You remember?
Yeah. I'm always fucked. My body is just destroyed, you know, all the time.
Now you look 10 years younger. Something happens to your body. You're 15 kilos of body fat less, more muscles. What happened with
you're
you
in
now?
Better shape now.
What happened?
Yeah, I'm in a very good shape now, because my injuries last year, I decided, because what happened is one thing led to another. I had back problems my whole career, because I always used to fight as absolute class. So I was always training and fighting guys who were 50, 60, 70 kilos heavier than me. And this, since I am very young, so this destroyed my spine. And I also had a couple of knee problems. And these two together made my posture become really bad. And this made last year to led me to like have three ribs that just exploded, you know, where they join on the chest bone here on the middle. They just exploded while I was training, and I couldn't train for a long time. And then I decided to focus on weight training and eating better. And because after I had to retire, I think I got so frustrated and so upset with life that I got angry at everything, and including on myself. It was like just like my body let me down. So I'm gonna try to fuck my body badly to give it back, you know. So I was eating shit, not taking proper care of me. So I got fat, I got like lazy. So now I decided that even though I cannot fight anymore, I cannot be the way I want to be, I will at least try to stay in shape, to be able to play with my kids, to be able to be a good coach, to teach a good class, you know, and to have a better quality in life. So from 6 months to now, I reframe the way I think. I changed some stuff, and now I'm doing like, if you get like weight training and cardio together, 4 hours training a day, and I'm enjoying, you know, I'm enjoying doing that. I'm enjoying to be in shape again, to be my cardio to be good. I'm back at basketball. I used to play when I was a kid, so I'm playing twice a week basketball. I even joined the team over here in my city. I'm part of the team. So yeah, I'm trying to enjoy life. For the first time, I can say that I'm enjoying life apart from fighting, you know. I never had a life apart from fighting, so I'm trying to discover what's over there. I never seen anything else.
Ah, great. You look much, much younger than a few months ago, only 1 year ago.
So, brother, we will have a chance to see you soon in Serbia. So you know the idea about MMA reality show that we spoke about, that you're gonna be one of the coaches and you're gonna bring some of your established guys. But first, before you say what do you think about the idea and the MMA reality, I mean, what would you say about the name that we chose for the reality show, Ad Astra Per Aspera? That's very specific when it comes to you. So what can you tell us about that?
Man, first of all, I you know, it's crazy. You know, what I'm going to say now is crazy, and Boyan feels exactly the same way. It's crazy how me and Boyan, how we think alike and how we are alike. You know, Boyan is much more like me than my own sister, my blood sister. You know, he is like a brother, like, man, it's crazy. because when he told me about this name, I was expecting to suggest him this. I have even sent myself a message to remember to suggest Bojan this name, because I think it's a great name. It's a great name, and it reflects the idea of the reality show. You go through hell to get to the stars. It's amazing. It's amazing. So when I was gonna tell Bojan, he told me, I said, man, and this has happened many times between us, you know, all the time. Bojan says something, I said, man, I would say exactly the same thing.
And you also played basketball as a kid. That's the one similarity also that you didn't know, most probably.
I
think the name is amazing. I think it's an amazing name. And strong name reflects exactly the idea of the reality show. And man, I just love it. I just love it.
And what do you think about the entire idea, like competition between Brazilian and Dagestani school of MMA that we're gonna...
It's the kind of idea that is so crazy and so exciting that only Bojan could have. You know, he's the best to have this kind of ideas. And when he told me, I said, man, unbelievable. I can't believe he's going to do that. And then after I saw that that was for real, I said, fuck, that's a great idea. That's awesome. You're going to get two countries that are, one was the MMA Mecca for years and years and years, and it's very traditional as one of the big potencies in MMA, which is Brazil. And the other one is the new mecca of MMA, is the new potency. All the great fighters that are coming from Dagestan and Russia, they are taking over everywhere. So it's an amazing idea, an amazing idea. And happening in Serbia, if you look back at history, Serbia was the stage of all the major battles and wars in the world. Everything happened, or happened in Serbia, or went through Serbia. But Serbia was there all the time, you know.
Always on the crossroads. That's something that's
east-west.
So it's amazing. It's amazing. I think it's a great idea. I'm super excited to be part of this. I'm super honored to be part of this. I had many, if I was rational enough, I would never be able to come because I have so many appointments and things that I couldn't miss. But I just said, man, fuck it. I'm just calling everybody, canceling everything I have, because I want to be part of this. And I think it's going to be something really, really interesting. And it's going to be really, really nice for the MMA fans in Serbia. I see this as something that can take MMA to another level in Serbia, to be honest.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, thank you for let us to use your name, and thank you for your highest high level fighters you bring us. So Japa, Gian,
Victor Stryker.
Victor Stryker, and who else?
Lincoln.
Oh, all the high level fighters
here. I think that such a great idea like this deserves to have the best possible fighters. So I could not offer anything less than this. So I hope to help this project to be very, very successful, and I really expect the fans to enjoy.
Thank you for everything, brother. Did I turning you back in coaching, or you coaching even now in your gym? Because I see on pictures you have a lot of coaches there for striking, for wrestling, for lucha libre. For
did the reality show motivated you? Yeah,
I still coach. I still coach the ground game. I still set up the strategies. But I brought Zulu in 2 years ago to help me out, because I am not able to be away anymore, like to be traveling all the time. And I had to, once you have a big team and many fighters fighting abroad, it's hard if you only go with some of them, and if you don't go with the others, you create a fucking horrible atmosphere in the team. So I had to make a decision that since I could not go with everybody anymore, I would not go with anyone anymore. So I had to bring someone as capable as me to be a good cornerman, to be with them on the travel, to sort problems that usually happens during the travels. So I brought Zulu because he's a very experienced and very capable coach. And he also has a great energy, and he just fits really well to the team. Everybody loves him. So yeah, it was end up being good. Maybe in the future I'll be able to travel again with all of them, hopefully, because I miss it as well. I know they miss it. But for the time being, I think that was the correct decision to make.
Okay, brother, thank you. I mean, we are really looking forward to having you here. We just like, we plan on everything, and we plan like creating the best show, and you're going to help us with it, of course. It's going to be the highest level since you are involved. So we can't wait for you to come in August so we can create the best show possible.
Thank you, brother. This is going to be a big, big pleasure. I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm pretty sure we're going to do a great, great show, and the fans are going to love it.
I'm 100% sure that we will make it on highest level. We have a great production, great place, a great gym. Near hotel is 20 meters from there.
So everything will happen in one place, which is great. We can do everything at one location. It's a really huge gym, well equipped, so it's going to be perfect. We're going to make history, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure too.
Brother, thank you for your time. We don't want to take much of your time. You helped us a lot, but I hope maybe we can make another podcast when you arrive, so we can do it live.
In live.
When we are together in the studio, so we're gonna do it in August as well, brother.
Awesome deal. It's gonna be a pleasure.
One more time, thank you for everything, for helping me, for Fighters, for reality show, for my September event in Belgrade for first time. I hope I can turn you back again after reality, with family, with. And come here for good. Serbia is great.
You can come and become Serbian.
Your friendship for me is enough. It's the biggest return I can have from anything. You can trust.
I feel the same, brother.
Okay, brothers. Love you, my brother.
Love you, brother.
Take care.
Thank you, brother.
Take care.
Thank you, brother. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.